Well, it's 29 September. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the Wednesday CG Report. D is for destroyers. That and lots of other things to go over on today's report. All right, from the Epic Times, just the title, Biden, 96 to 98% of Americans need to be vaccinated to go back to normal. Guess what? We will never go back to normal. It will never happen. 96 to 98% of Americans. And suppose that were to happen, which it won't, that 2 to 4% would be persecuted to the ends of the world. That's what would happen. We're letting a million people a month over the southern border. People that don't belong here, people with all kinds of COVID problems and other problems and, you know, murderers and rapists and all kinds of criminals. And yet they're forcing 96 to 98% of you to be vaccinated or you don't get to go back to normal. Oh, but wait, from PBS on May 4th, Biden aims to vaccinate 70% of adult Americans by July 4th. That was his original goal, 70%. And after that, everything was supposed to be okay. Biden set a new vaccination goal to deliver at least one shot to 70% of Americans by July 4th. And he said, if we can get 70%, everything will be okay. And that was with one shot. From the Daily Wire, Democrat Governor Hochul, I'm assuming that's how you say her name, I've never heard it pronounced. She says, unvaxxed Christians aren't listening to God. God wants you to get vaccinated. Hochul said in the Bronx that Christians who are not vaccinated against COVID aren't listening to God, adding that God wants them vaccinated. The Democrat, of course, notably made the comments one day before her vaccine mandate for healthcare workers takes effect. The controversial order had already sparked healthcare worker shortages around the state. Yes, I know you're vaccinated. You're the smart ones. But, you know, there are people out there who aren't listening to God and what God wants. You know this. You know who they are. I need you to be my apostles. So now she's Jesus. I need you to be my apostles. I need you to go out and talk about it and say, we owe this to each other. We love each other. Jesus taught us to love one another. And how do you show that love? But to care about each other enough to say, please get vaccinated because I love you. I want you to live. The jarring comments sparked backlash online. Notably, upstate New York radio host Bob Lounsbery pointedly commented, so when God wants to say something about vaccines, he has Democrats speak for him. Who does he go to when he wants someone to speak about abortion? From Zero Hedge. Despite over 95% vaxxed, 95% vaxxed, and I bet you it's 100%, but they said over 95 just because, you know, they want to make it sound like some people are rebellious. Despite over 95% vaxxed, Harvard Business School shifts classes online after substantial outbreak of COVID. Harvard Business School has moved its first year and some second year MBA students to remote learning after an outbreak of COVID. In recent days, we've seen a steady rise in breakthrough infections among our student population, despite high vaccination rates and frequent testing. With the support of Harvard University leaders, advised by city and state public health officials, we have decided to move all first-year MBA students and some in the second year to remote learning for the week of 9/27 to 10/3. Howard Foreman, a professor in the practice of management at Yale School of Management and a medical doctor who also teaches in Yale's School of Public Health, tweeted days ago that Harvard was facing a substantial outbreak. 95% vaxxed, and like I said, it's probably more, and if they're not vaxxed for some, you know, health reason, then they're being tested every day, guaranteed. Harvard, and they have a substantial outbreak. Mail online. Positive COVID test results that forced The View presenters Anna Navarro and Sonny Hostin to leave halfway through the show were false positives. You know, I didn't want to say it at the time because I could have been wrong, but I thought immediately, I bet you this is a setup. I bet you that they're just getting rid of these two women so Kamala can have more focus and more attention on there. But that was just a guess. just speculation, but sure enough, it was a false positive one way or another. From Business Insider, 70% of fully vaccinated prisoners caught COVID-19 in a Texas Delta outbreak, the CDC says. That's the CDC who said that. It wasn't just some Yahoo newspaper, it's CDC. So my question is, how is your vaccine journey going? From Mail Online, New York's largest health provider says it has fired 24 leaders for not getting COVID vaccine as state's shot mandate comes into effect. 72,000 hospital staff are now facing losing their jobs. 72,000 people. WWNY-TV. Hochul signs executive order to deal with healthcare staffing shortages. Hochul signed an executive order that expands who can work in the state's healthcare facilities. That's in anticipation of a shortage of workers. 72,000? I'd say there'll be a shortage. A shortage of workers because of the state's COVID-19 vaccine mandate that took effect at midnight, resulting in many losing their jobs. It's also despite improvements in the numbers of healthcare workers who are vaccinated. The only way we can move past this pandemic is to ensure that everyone eligible is vaccinated. And that includes those who are taking care of our vulnerable family members and loved ones. These people have been taking care of their family members and loved ones for a year and a half, putting their lives on the line for people like this. And then she turns around and stabs them right in the back. D is for disaster. Hochul said at the time she signed the order, 92% of nursing home staff had at least one dose of vaccine, up from 70% when the mandate was announced in August 15th. The number of workers in adult care facilities with at least one dose rose to 89%, up from 76% in mid-August. 84% of hospital staff were fully vaccinated as of September 22nd, up from 77% on August 10th. Preliminary data showed 92% had at least one dose by Monday evening. People were being threatened into taking the death shot. The order allows out-of-state and out-of-country healthcare workers to practice in New York, allows retirees to re-enter the workforce, expands the role of EMTs in healthcare settings. Hochul has also said she may call on medically trained National Guard members to pitch in where there are shortages. Sounds like mismanagement to me. From the Weasel Zippers, New York's new ice queen governor denies unemployment claims for anyone fired for refusing vaccine. I do believe this is against the law. There will be lawsuits, and we'll just see where it goes. But New York state workers who are fired for refusing to get the death shot are not eligible for unemployment insurance, Governor Kathy Hochul said. The only exception to the vaccine mandate is a valid doctor-approved request for medical accommodation. They are not taking EEOC religious rights exemptions, and by not doing that, they are breaking federal law. But do you think anything will be done about it? Probably not. From CFP, President of Croatia, we will not be vaccinated anymore. Smart man, he's saving a lot of lives with this one. The media spread panic and nonsense. We will not be vaccinated anymore in Croatia. Croatians have been vaccinated enough and should be allowed to accept the risks of becoming infected with COVID on their own terms, according to President Zoran Milanovic. President Milanovic broke with the majority of his contemporaries in expressing frustration over medical authoritarianism and COVID hysteria pushed by the mainstream media and globalists. Croatia is not sufficiently vaccinated. Unlike the EU average, we are only at 50%, Milanovic said in a recent statement to the press. I don't care. We're vaccinated enough, and everyone knows it. We need to know what the goal of this frenzy is. If the goal is to completely eradicate the virus, then we have the goal. I have not heard that this is the goal. If someone tells me it's a goal, I will tell him he is out of his mind. I start every day with CNN and those few channels, and I wonder if I am normal or are the crazy, he said. They spread panic. They do it from the beginning. Tennis World, Jeremy Chardy. I regret getting vaccinated. I have serious problems now. Former world number 25 Jeremy Chardy says he has a series of problems after taking the COVID-19 vaccine, and his 2021 season is over. This summer, 34-year-old Chardy decided to get vaccinated, and it didn't work out so well for him. Chardy, now ranked at number 73 in the world, claims he is unable to train and play. Since I got my vaccine, I have had a problem. I have had serious problems. As a result, I can't train. I can't play. I prefer to take more time to heal myself and be sure that, in the future, I won't have any problems. I bet you that's not the case. I bet he is ruined permanently. At the moment, my season has stopped and I don't know when I'll start again. So now I regret having taken the vaccine. But I couldn't have known. Sure he could have, if he just listened to the people that know what's going on. It's the first time that the idea that the next season might be my last has crossed my mind. From the Testimonies Project, I would like you to go to the Testimonies Project. I'll give you the link in a minute and watch some of their videos. This is out of Israel, and this is the damage that is being done to human lives by taking the vaccine. The Testimonies Project was created to provide a platform for all those who were affected after getting the COVID-19 vaccines and to make sure their voices are heard, since they are not heard in the Israeli media. Heart problems, neurological, vaginal bleeding, blood clots, inflammations, skin problems, disease outbreak, and also death. They have people that report about death of their family members. You go to www.vaxtestimonies.org/en. www.vaxtestimonies.org/en from Ynet. Israelis who recovered from COVID must get single jab for Green Pass. Health Ministry's new measure will go into effect on October 3rd. Same date as the rule that requires those who haven't been fully vaccinated over 6 months ago to get the booster shot in order to not have the vaccine certificate revoked. Zero Hedge. Israelis rise up against vax passports after being told more shots needed to be considered fully vaccinated. Good. Protests have finally erupted in Israel as it has slowly dawned. You know, you think that Israelis are a bunch of smart people. Apparently, they're a little slow on the uptake in some areas. That has slowly dawned on the people that the goalposts for vaccine passports keep being shifted by the government. It is now expected to be announced that at least 4 vaccinations will be needed to be considered fully vaccinated and able to engage in society. Over the weekend, marches took place in the streets of Tel Aviv against the so-called Green Pass. Predictably, the media labeled the protesters right-wing extremists and anti-vaxxers. As we recently noted, despite over 61% of its population being fully vaccinated and having implemented a vaccine passport system, the Israeli Health Ministry has expressed concern about the fact that a recent downtrend in COVID-19 infections is reversing, potentially surpassing any levels previously seen. Israeli Health Minister Nitzan Horowitz was caught on a hot mic admitting that vaccine passports were primarily about coercing skeptical people to get the vaccine and not for medical reasons. Epic Times. Fully vaccinated Texas congressman says he tested positive for COVID-19. Oh, no. A congressman of Texas reported over the weekend that he had contracted the CCP virus, which causes COVID-19, despite being fully vaccinated against the virus. In what appears to be a breakthrough infection, well, let's see, he got fully vaccinated and then he got COVID, and they say it appears to be a breakthrough infection. Representative Brian Babin, Republican from Texas, said on Twitter that he started to have mild cold-like symptoms. The congressman added that he is recovering from COVID-19 at home and following a therapeutic regimen to recover. I wonder what he's taking. Any guesses there? Probably what Governor DeSantis recommended a long time ago, under the advice and direction of his physicians. From American Greatness, over 3,000 doctors and scientists sign declaration accusing COVID policymakers of crimes against humanity. A physician's declaration produced by an international alliance of physicians and medical scientists strongly condemns the global strategy to treat COVID, accusing policymakers of potential crimes against humanity for preventing physicians from providing life-saving treatments for their patients and suppressing open scientific discussion. The document states that one-size-fits-all treatment recommendations have resulted in needless illness and death. As of 1 p.m. Friday afternoon, the declaration had garnered over 3,100 signatures from doctors and scientists around the world. A group of physicians and scientists met in Rome, Italy, early this month for a three-day global COVID summit to speak truth to power about COVID pandemic research and treatment. The summit, which was held from September 12th to September 14th, gave the medical professionals an opportunity to compare studies and assess the efficacy of the various treatments that have been developed in hospitals, doctors' offices, and research labs throughout the world. The document sprang from the conference. The physician's declaration was first read at the Rome COVID summit, catalyzing an explosion of active support from medical scientists and physicians around the globe. These professionals were not expecting career threats, character assassination, papers and research censored, social accounts blocked, search results manipulated, clinical trials and patient observations banned, and their professional history and accomplishments altered or omitted in academic and mainstream media. Dr. Robert Malone, architect of the mRNA vaccine platform, read the Rome Declaration at the summit. Bad times going on in the world when doctors that are fully competent to make decisions about things like this are censored, they're blocked, they're having their stuff hidden, they're having their stuff manipulated, changed. Terrible stuff going on in the world. Before we go on, I'd like to say something. Some of you have been having trouble finding certain videos that I put out on the Superior Word on Rumble. The way that you do this, I'll put up a little picture so that you can see what you need to do. You go to Rumble, type in The Superior Word. You should subscribe to the channel anyway. But if you type in The Superior Word, it'll pull up a thing with some Superior Word stuff on there. What you need to do is you need to click where it says in really small letters on one of the video, The Superior Word, and that will bring up the most recent stuff. They've got kind of a funny format there, and I'd like you to know how to find stuff easily. Most people don't, and they spend all day looking for something that they're not going to find because of the way they've got their system structured at this time. But look at the picture. You'll see what to do in the future. You won't need to email me about that. You'll know what to do, and then you can tell other people how to find stuff on Rumble as well until they get this, you know, kind of sorted out. But Rumble is a great platform. Hopefully, they'll get playlists soon, and things will start being more organized there. Anyway, from CBS, Biden administration releases plan for combating next pandemic. Next pandemic. The Biden admin has released its plan for combating the next pandemic, warning that a future pandemic could be even worse than COVID-19. Well, considering that the recovery rate of COVID-19 is between 97.5 and 99%, which we talked about on last Sunday's report, comes right out of the CDC, their figures, because it is that much of a recovery rate, it would be kind of surprising to not have a pandemic that is worse than COVID. I mean, we're dealing with something that is about as bad as the flu on any given year, okay? In a call with reporters, White House officials described an Apollo-like mission to coordinate all aspects of pandemic response in a centralized command, just what we need. The admin's plan, which also addresses other biological threats, like Joe Biden's breath and Nancy Pelosi's looks, has several components, creating medical defenses such as rapid production of vaccines, therapeutics, and diagnostics, establishing early warning systems and real-time monitoring, modernizing public health infrastructure at home and abroad, improving supply chains, personal protective equipment availability and stockpiles, and establishing a pandemic mission control office. It all sounds good until you see that the plan would cost $65 billion over the next 7 to 10 years. Let's take it to 10 years at $6.5 billion a year. That money is being funneled into people's pockets, and they're not going to do what they're supposed to do because this is the U.S. government, and they don't get anything right. I was talking to somebody about something this weekend. She was saying how the government this and that, and I said, what do you expect? They messed up the Florida Everglades 50 years ago, and they're still trying to fix it. Don't get the U.S. government involved in anything unless you want it completely messed up. From the Epic Times, Alabama House bill proposes vaccine injury protection for employees. Injury protection for employees. This is a great idea. Listen to this. If an individual was injured by an employer-mandated COVID-19 vaccine, a proposed Alabama bill would give the employee the right to take legal action against their employer. You must take this shot or you're going to lose your job. Okay, I'm going to take the shot. I get sick. I die. Somebody in my family can sue that person for mandating something that he had no right to mandate. Good job. I hope it goes through. Zero Hedge. It's a ghost town. Shocking images show downtown Chicago. Have you been downtown lately? It's nearly empty. We hear comments like that more and more often from alarmed readers in the Chicago area. We see it too, and it's worsening. So we're putting up a few pictures for those who haven't visited lately. If you want to see the pictures, just go to Zero Hedge and look at the article. And adding the perspective of one downtown restaurant owner. We took the pictures downtown on Thursday between 9 a.m. and 1:30 p.m. Things seem to be improving a bit over the summer, but no longer. Is it COVID, crime, or the new trend to remote working? The recent surge in COVID began in the first week in July, and that's undoubtedly a major cause. The trend toward remote work is real and may be permanent. But crime seems to be increasingly on people's minds. I checked in with somebody who is a kind of real-time barometer of downtown activity. That's Jesse Boyle, who owns two restaurants in the, I can't pronounce it, Ogilvy Transportation Center, Station Restaurant and Bar, and Vinny's Pizza Bar. Ogilvy is the primary commuter train station in downtown Chicago, so Boyle has a pretty good feel of the pulse of downtown activity. In the spring and summer, I was anticipating things to really come back with Labor Day. I was hearing a lot of companies were scheduling their employees' returns for the fall. My group was excited to get closer to normal, he says. And he had put his money where his hopes were, completing major renovations. But there are two things that have converged, Boyle says. They have set things back. One is that the Delta variant has taken away a lot of that early enthusiasm for work gatherings and people getting reacquainted. A very close second is crime. As Boyle sees it, overall crime is up again, and these stories we're hearing and reading about suggest that downtown is not as safe as it used to be. It's confluence of those causes and whatever else has drained people from downtown that's mostly deadly. You can feel it, and it feeds on itself. It's a ghost town feeling that you have just walking down any downtown street, as Boyle puts it. It makes you feel a little uneasy, and it's kind of shocking to me that we continue to see this for such an extended period. The offices are empty and the energy is gone. Boyle went on, it wasn't like that prior to last year, and I'm hopeful that our city government pulls it together and helps us fix this. I've seen a sales dip from July to August, which is unusual. Things in September continue to be flat or down from August. Just having more people downtown will make all of us feel better, but at this point, I have no sense of direction on when that will happen. As a business owner, this is very dispiriting and depressing. More D words like Democrat. Our hearts are out to Boyle, his employees, and all others like them in downtown Chicago and all places suffering like it. This cannot go on. Chicago, as we've known, will not survive with as few people downtown as there are. And Illinois cannot survive without Chicago. From the Express, EU Army plans accelerated by UK security pact with US and AUS, Brexit Britain warned. Man, I'm telling you what, this is right out of the book of Revelation here. Brexit Britain has shifted away from the EU after signing up to a historic alliance with the US and Australia to increase intelligence sharing in a bid to counter the growing threats in the Indo-Pacific. That pact triggered a furious response from France after Australia abandoned a $45 billion contract for French submarines in favor of the new AUKUS partnership and 8 nuclear-powered underwater vessels. Paris officials have been angered by the snub from Australia and it being left out of the trilateral agreement altogether. French President Macron has for years been pushing plans for further integration between EU forces, something I've been talking about for years as well. And a Brexiteer and former UK government advisor has said the AUKUS deal may provide further fuel to plans for a European army. Ben Harris Quinney, who is also the chair of the Bo Group think tank, told Express, "During the EU referendum, we were told a European army was a conspiracy theory. But a European army has always been a key part of the long-term EU plan to create a federal superstate. The creation of an EU army has been touted for years. It is something that the EU is determined to achieve, but it became an even bigger priority post-Brexit. This latest defense agreement will almost certainly give further fuel to that cause, and it is likely we will see it take form in the next few years." I would be surprised if we don't see it start taking form in the next few months, or at least next year. Mr. Harris Quinney has added the UK's departure from the EU has provided the opportunity to assess Britain's foreign policy and warned against any prospect of being part of Brussels' military plans. He said, "The recent events in Afghanistan underline the disastrous nature of the last 20 years of British foreign policy." Mail Online. Disturbing photos show rampant drug use in broad daylight among the homeless around Penn Station as crime spikes 41%. Streets are littered with broken crack pipes, trash, urine, and feces. Sounds just like San Francisco. Now it's New York City once again. Homeless people are seen openly using drugs in New York City's Garment District near Penn Station. Area residents say the streets are littered with used needles, broken glass, crack pipes, trash, urine, and feces, and they've witnessed overdoses. Crime in the Midtown South Precinct, which includes the Garment District, is up 41% this year through September 19th, compared to the same period in 2020, according to New York Police Department crime data. The largest spikes are in the number of robberies, which increased 189% from 97 to 280, and felony assaults, which increased 151% from 131 to 329. Garment District Alliance President Barbara Blair said they've been trying to get Mayor Bill de Blasio help clean up the area, but his administration hasn't done anything. No kidding. D is for destroyer. D is for derelict on duty. D is for demented, maybe. D is for Democrat. I'm telling you what, when you elect people like this, this is what you can expect to get. We're going to continue to destroy this nation every time that people vote D. We have to make a grassroots movement, and we need to get the word out that people need to vote. I know a lot of Christians don't want to vote. They say, well, I'm a Christian, and I'm not supposed to be entering into politics. That is completely contrary to the tenor of Scripture. Paul was a Roman citizen, and he used his citizenship every chance he got for the furtherance of the gospel and for his own protection and so on. We are citizens of Christ, that is true, but we are also citizens of the nations in which we live. You have your responsibility, and if you don't vote and this kind of stuff happens, you've only got yourself to blame. Anyway, we'll go on. I know that was a little bit disappointing, but before we go, I'll read you something both uplifting and direct about how we can pray for our leaders. This is called a Psalm of Imprecation, if you've never heard that term before. Psalm 139, for the chief musician, a Psalm of David. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Isn't that a wonderful, comforting thought that we have from the Lord? Right out of his word, he has hedged us in. He has his hand right down there upon us, because we are his people when we are in Jesus Christ. David goes on, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me.
Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed me in my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God! Here comes the imprecation, folks. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. Before I go on, David was called a man after God's own heart hundreds of years after he had died because he defended the honor of the Lord. He goes on, I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there is any wicked way in me. Obviously, asking for the wicked to be destroyed is not wickedness in David. And lead me in the way everlasting. Good words from David. We're hemmed in by the Lord. He's got his hand upon us. Wonderful is the Lord God Almighty. And yet at the same time, we have the right to condemn wickedness around us and to actually hate, to loathe the people that are destroying the world around us, who hate the name of the Lord and everything that he stands for. This does not mean that I won't pray for them, but when I pray for them, I pray for one thing, for their salvation. Other than that, there's no blessing I could ask upon them. None. Because they hate the name of the Lord. Why would I ask for a blessing upon somebody that hates the Lord? If they don't come to Christ, I would pray that if he does not turn their hearts, if they don't come to him, that they be cast away. And they will be someday. All of these wrongs will be righted, and everything will be right someday. Hang on to that hope. We may go through really serious times in the years ahead, but we have a better hope than this crummy fallen world. We have the hope of eternal life in the presence of God because of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so, from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, such is the world in which we live. I am Charlie Garrett, and that is your midweek CG report.